Message entitled, Being Directed by the Word. Dearly beloved Emmanuel, tonight as we come to this house of God, we do so as born again children of God, born again believers, and we are given wonderful and amazing tools by which we are to conduct our lives, to be able to walk in this life, being instructed by God's voice. We are given so much today. We are given the Holy Spirit to direct us and guide us. We are given His Word, as I said just a moment ago, His voice printed on paper. We are blessed to have an instrument of righteousness such as God's Holy Spirit. And He leads us in the truth and He leads us in the way of holy living. And we know this from the very voice of God as He speaks to us. And you go over with me, if you will, to the book of John, the Gospel of John. And notice what it says in chapter 15 and verse 26. Here the Bible says this in John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. In John 16, the Bible says in verse 13, Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and show it unto you. So yes, tonight the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us will guide our hearts and our conscience. But another wonderful tool which we, the born again, have at our disposal, as I spoke of just a moment ago, is the very voice of God. Now we understand what the Word of God is. The Bible interprets the Word of God as it is God's voice. It's breathed. God's voice breathed upon paper, breathed upon the ears of men to write, that we might know what thus saith the Word of God. So tonight, this wonderful book, which many, each and every one of us tonight, hold in our hands, even now, is that which can and will lead us into righteousness and guide us in our everyday walk. Being directed by the Word. So first of all tonight, as we look at this, I must begin with that which we understand from verse 11 of Psalm 119. That God's Word keeps us from sin. In order for us to walk the Christ-like life, number one, we have to do our dead level best to live above the fray of sin. We have to be ready and willing to plead forgiveness of sin when we do sin. But the Bible teaches us there that the Word of God that's implanted in our hearts will keep us from sin. Did you know that the very Word of God will keep you from growing ill or anger at your brother or sister in Christ? You know the Word of God can help you do that. The Word of God can help you because the Bible says that we need not to be angry with our brother without cause. And oftentimes, you know, we in the human flesh, we get up and we get beside ourselves from time to time. But God's Word will remind us from time to time whatever it is that we are about to do, whether it's good or whether it's evil. If you know the Word of God, if God's Word is hid in your heart, every time that we begin to do something that is against God's Word, it'll remind us of where that's at in the Bible. So that's a reason why tonight that the Word of God ought to be that important to you. God's Word ought to be that which you pick up every day as you open up your day. You ought to open up the Word of God and read Scripture. You ought to get up and sometime throughout the day and open your Word of God and open the Bible and let God's voice speak to you. And definitely before you go to bed, you ought to talk to God and let Him talk to you through His Word. One of the greatest things that God's people have before us tonight is the tool of God's Word. It directs us, it keeps us from even presumptuous sins or sins of omission and commission together. God's Word is that good to us. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. God's Word, when read and when studied and when prayed over, keeps us from that transgression. Go back with me, if you will, to Psalm in chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Notice what it says here now. Psalm in chapter 1. Take your Bibles and look at that and notice what it says here in these first three verses of Scripture. I'll get my pages are stuck together here. But here the Bible says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight," the blessed man. Tonight, Emmanuel, that could be any one of us tonight. God could be speaking to your heart tonight. And He's trying to tell us tonight, this is the way to be blessed. This is the way to find yourselves being overwhelmed with the Spirit of God, to feel the presence of Almighty around you. He says in verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That's hiding God's Word in your heart, as it says in Psalm 119:11. Taking the Word of God and allowing it to speak to you all throughout the day. You know, many times as you'll get up in the morning, you'll read a portion of Scripture and you'll pray over it, and then you'll go about your business throughout the day, and maybe somewhere along the way, some thought will come to your mind and God's Word begins to speak to you about the very thing you picked up and read that morning. That's how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. Verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth, it shall prosper." You know what? That's the best kind of Christian to be, isn't it? Isn't that the best kind of thought to have, that you, as you live your Christian life and you walk your Christian walk, that God prospers everything that you do? And I mean that in perspective now. I know that not everything we do is going to turn to gold. But God blesses us and He watches over us, and you can feel the blessings of God when His Word is rushing through your heart and mind. You can feel it. It tells us what sin is, even. That's the good thing about God's Word. It tells us what sin is. Everything that the Word tells us to abstain from is done so because it is trying to protect us from those sins, those hidden sins that lie waiting to jump out at you. Even our attitudes, our demeanors, our conduct with those around us. Listen, we are to be very careful about that. God's Word tells us how we are to be with each other even. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Notice what it says here in verse number 3 and number 4 to begin with. The Bible says here, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, immediately when we come into the house of God, we're coming in as brothers and sisters in Christ, and in this place, in this house of worship, we're not coming in to see who we can outdo, are we? We're coming into the house of God as a group, a collective group of baptized believers to worship together and to lift up our voices together. We're not doing things for vainglory. We're doing it for the glory of God. Amen. Every song that we sing, that's a reason why that I think is so important that you pick up your books and you read along and you sing along with these songs, because we're not singing to each other. We're singing to Almighty. We're singing to lift up praise to God tonight who's in this place. And I believe not only God is in this place through His Holy Spirit, but I believe the angels of heaven inquire upon our worship time as we come together to worship the God of heaven, the very God who gave His Son that we might have life. And the reason why that we come into this house to do that is because of just that. He saved us. He saved us. Now, verse 14 and 15, well, let me read the rest of this. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves, looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Verse 14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be the blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." This is the very way for us to walk today. You know, I could go to Colossians chapter 3 and read those first 17 verses of Scripture where the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ..." Listen, I want you to know something. If you be saved by the grace of God, we're to walk different, amen. The Bible tells us how to walk. The Bible tells us how to look. The Bible tells us how to act. The Bible tells us how to love. The Bible tells us how to direct our daily walk. I mean, the Word of God directs everything about us in our lives for His glory. Yes, this is the way that we're to walk. Walking in the Word of the Lord, and we shall find ourselves walking as the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ walked when He was here. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Folks, how much of the Word do we actually pick up and allow to soak into our thought process? How much of the Word of God do we take each day and look at, realizing that's God's voice as He speaks to us from heaven? He speaks to us through His Word. The inspired Word of God is just that. It is the breath of God upon paper or parchment. Think about it. How God has blessed us to have a life that we can walk Christ-like, because He gives us everything we need right here in this book. It tells us what we're to do. It tells us what we're to abstain from. It tells us everything that can prosper us in this life in which we live. Now, people that do not prosper in the Christian life, folks, all you got to do is just see how much of the Word of God that they are taking in. This is where prospering comes. And I'm not talking like Joe Osteen or somebody else at this name and claim it group, but I'm talking about prospering, feeling God's blessings upon us, feeling God working in us and through us and around us. That's as much as prospering as wealth and gold. Listen, I believe God blesses us in different ways, and He helps us to prosper as long as we have the Word hidden down in our hearts. The best way that we can live Christ-like lives is to have that Word hid in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. Now, secondly, God's Word moves us to be a lover of the church. Now, when I say that, I want you to know what I'm speaking of right now. I'm speaking of this place of worship. I'm not speaking about the church, but the house of worship. I love this place. I love coming to this house of worship. I love coming into this place that's been set aside and dedicated by the saints of God. Back over nearly 100 years ago, they dedicated a place of worship for this group of people in this community. And this is a place where they promised to meet, to worship, and to praise God. And God says in His word in Matthew 18, I believe it is, where two or three are gathered in His name, He says, I'm in the midst. Folks, I know tonight, and I believe what God's word says. I know He's in this place. I do not even hesitate in my thought process there. I do not even begin to have the faintest, slightest idea of doubt to come into my mind. When I say God's in this place, folks, I really believe God's in this place. I believe He's come here tonight to receive our worship, our singing. And right now, everything we're doing is taking the Word in. You know that's worship. Do you know that taking the Word of God into our hearts and our minds is worship as much as the singing is? God's watching us tonight and He's viewing everything that we're doing. I love this house because of that one thing, that I know that God's in this place. Now, I know some time ago you heard a man say that this building is no different than that barn over here. Folks, I beg to differ with you and that person. Folks, I want you to know that this is the house of God and this is a place where we have come together to worship in spirit and truth. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is in this place. Now, if we met in that barn as a church family, I know God would be there because God says, where you're at, I'll be there. But this is a place that's dedicated for just that thing, is worshiping God. I love it. I love coming to the house of God. I love coming into this place because God's Word says, listen, in Psalm 122, what does it say in verse 1? Listen, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of God or to the sanctuary of God. Let me read it. I'm going to have to turn there because I don't want to misquote it. But I want you to listen to this. This is the reason why I love coming to the house of God. Number one, I love coming to the house of God because I know that He's in this place. The Bible says here in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Folks, this is a wonderful time and place to be. This is a wonderful setting as we come into this house as a group of baptized believers. We're coming into this house to do what? To worship Him. And He says, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to be with you. You know what happened when Moses was with God? Moses walked away with a glow about him, did he not? Listen, any man of God that was ever close to God, listen, he walked away a different individual. And that's what happens in the house of God. When we come in with our hearts in tune and ready to worship God, we go away, like we often say, saying it's been good to be in God's house. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now listen, folks, I know as a pastor. I know as a preacher. I've been in services before where you understood that there was very few of them that was really coming to the house of God to worship and to realize that God was in that place. I've been there. I've seen that. I've seen the coldness of people. I've had men to come in to me and say, how in the world did you preach that sermon in that situation? You just preach knowing that God's there, hopefully. That's what you do. But you know, when we come into this house, there's a different feeling here. There's a different atmosphere. There's a different feeling among the people of God. We come here and there is a mutual love for the Word of God, for the old songs, for the way we worship. I mean, there's a mutual a drawing power there. And we as God's people come in. We come in ready. Listen, I love preaching in this house of God. Now, it's not always I'm about to get in trouble. It's not always as what I believe God would want us to be, all of us. I'm talking about from this pastor right on through. There's times we come in and we're off. I'm talking about in our feeling, in our worship time. We're off a little bit. We might be having our minds might be somewhere else, and we're really not thinking about focusing about what's in this house. We're not focusing on the fact that God's in this place, somewhere in this house. The Holy Spirit is walking up and down these aisles and in and out of these pews, and hopefully He's going to touch the hearts of individuals. That's our hope and prayer. But I know where God's at, where God's Spirit is. Anything's possible. Amen. Anything's possible. That's a reason why our ears should be attentive unto the Word of God that comes in this place, realizing that God's voice is speaking to us in His Word, His breathed Word, and the Holy Word of God. But I love coming to the house of God. I rejoice, and all day as I would be in my study or out walking around, and I would try to take a walk and pray and focus my thoughts on being here tonight. Listen, folks, that's the way we ought to come to the house of God, with expectation, looking forward to what God has for us. We ought to come into the house of God saying, what's He going to do? What's He going to do tonight? What's He going to do to my heart this evening? Is He going to touch me tonight? Is He going to help me to realize the blessing of the house of God? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. You know, in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 21, the Bible says, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us speedily pray before the Lord. Let us seek the Lord of hosts, and I will go also. Listen, that ought to be a desire for us, that we will have that drive to want to be in the house of God. To want to be in a place where He says, I'm going to be with you. In Isaiah 2 and 3, the Bible says, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. Oh, folks, tonight, and to be honest with you, this is one of the best places that I believe that we can be as a church family, is gathering ourselves together to listen to the voice of God in His house. May God help us tonight. As you see this wonderful book, it will cause you to fall in love with the house of God. It'll cause you to have a desire to come into this house of worship, you know, all the way back as far as my old mind can go. I remember as a young boy, man, I used to love. I can look back now and I can see some things that remind me of the house of God. And man, there's some wonderful thoughts. Even when I was a young lad, I could say I loved going to the house of God. Listen. I'm trying to think of how old I was back when, it was a long time ago, 72 or 3 or so. I had to only been in about the second or third grade, or maybe not even that old. I might have only been about the age of Jensen or so. I can't remember. But I remember Brother Galloway and my dad and my mom and myself was standing right over there on the church steps of the old building. You remember that, Brother Jim? It was on a New Year's Eve service, if I'm not mistaken. I still remember as we, because I remember the old chairs. I love them old chairs. You know how a kid is. I mean, my goodness, man, flopping things down, they flop back up. I mean, I love that old house. I still have that in the back of my mind. It's still there, and I was just a little boy. But I loved coming to the house of God. I remember hearing Brother Galloway when I was just a little boy. He would preach on the things of God in the house of God. And man, he could make you almost feel everything that was there. As a little boy, I could feel, it seemed like, the very presence of Almighty. I remember Brother Stanton Dowdy's. He'd say God was a God had great big hands. He'd hold, you know, Brother Jim talks about them great big hands of Brother Stanton Dowdy. He had some huge hands. He was a big-handed man. And he'd hold them hands up there. And he'd say, my God has great big hands. And old Brother Stanton Dowdy, bless his heart, he wasn't a very good driver. But I'll tell you one thing, that old fella loved to come to the house of God. I remember one time he said he tried to drive down to the old walk bridge of the Salem Church over there. He drove right down to the next to the bridge almost. And that was just a walk bridge. But he was coming to the house of God. You know why? Because he loved it. He loved it. Folks, we all have that kind of love for this place. I mean a real love for just coming into the house of God. Number one, we know who's going to be there. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I'm going to be in the midst. That is something to get excited about, that God's in this place, and I feel like God's in this place. All you have to do is just stop on a Sunday morning and listen to the devotion, to the singing, to the songs, to the Sunday school hour, to the preaching service, and how everything just meshes together. You know why? God's Spirit is in this place. That's wonderful, folks. I love this place. I love this house of God. I love being in this place. I love being able to come to this house because I get excited every time I walk through those doors. I walk in this prayer room. I fall on my knees every service praying, God, do a mighty work in us tonight. You know the reason why I do that? Because I know He hears. He's in this place. Yes, this wonderful book will cause you to love to come to God's house. Oh, how I wish all the children of God would love to come to this house of worship. I wish all of our church members had the same zeal and desire to be in the house of God as the Wednesday night crowd did. I wish to goodness that everybody had the same love. I know there's some folks that are working tonight. I know there's some folks that are sick tonight. I know there's some folks that are having to go back to schooling tonight. I understand that. But listen, they have a desire. Most of those individuals have a desire to be in God's house because this is where we worship. This is where we come to pray and praise. This is a place where we come to fellowship with fellow saints. In Psalm 26:8, the Bible says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. God's honor's in this place. That's the reason why it's important to me. That's the reason why I think this house is different than any other place. Because God's honor's here. God says, I'll be there with you. Oh, may God help us to see that. May God help us not to ever, ever come into the house of God with a sign of regret and a dread and a drawn out feeling of remorse for being in the Lord's house. May God help us to never have that feeling. We're here tonight to worship. We're here tonight to celebrate the fact that God's in this place. What a special place for us to be. Now, lastly tonight, God's Word will direct us into Christ-like life and walk by showing us that we should love one another. You know, down through the Psalm 119, you see how God directs His people to love and to be encouraging. How can we come to a place where we delight ourselves in God's Word like Psalm 119 says? We're to do so by loving one another. Listen, we are to encourage one another and love one another. The very voice of God demands that we love and encourage each other. You know, I'm going to read a few of these in 1 John. If you'll turn there with me, 1 John chapter 2. The first thing that I'm going to do, though, I'm going to read John chapter 13, where the Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Folks, a Christ-like life is going to prove that we have real love for one another. We look forward to seeing each other in the house of God. When we're out in the community, or when we're out and we run into each other in the store, it should never be run and hide from that person. It should always search them out with joy and see them with rejoicing. That proves that you really love one another. But in 1 John in chapter 2, the Bible says here in verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He saith, and he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So how did he walk? He walked with love. See in verse 7 down through verse 11, you see where God walked with love. With Jesus Christ as his son, listen, he walked and he proved that love every day. The Bible says again in this scripture here in 1 John in chapter 2, verse 7, "Brethren, I write a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have..." Listen, let me write this. Let me reread this. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard, had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." See how God's word directs us to be sure that we love one another. In this house of God tonight, is there anybody in this house tonight or affiliated with this body that you cringe to see? God's people living the way Christ lived, we have a genuine love for all the brotherhood, for all the house of God. There is no occasion for our stumbling. We have a genuine love. There is no hypocrisy in our love. We look forward to seeing one another, whether it's in the house of God or wherever we meet, because we have a true love for one another. Yes, God's word demands that we love one another. And I pray tonight that our thoughts will have that in our minds. Listen, let me ask you tonight in closing, are we allowing God's word to really direct our lives? Are we allowing his word to direct us in everything that we do? I mean, do you love God's word? Do you allow it to move you in a way that would bring honor and glory to the Father? You see, his word will keep us from sin. His word will keep your mind where it ought to be. His word will keep your mind from even sinning in the house of God. You say, "Well, what do you mean by not having your mind ready to worship?" God's word has us to be ready to worship tonight. Has God spoke to our hearts about our time of coming to the house of God? It is a time when we come to this place to worship and to realize that He's in this place. Every person in this house tonight, God's already looked at our hearts. He's looked at our minds. He knows what our thought process is right now. You know why I know that? Because He says, I'm here. And there's nothing hidden from God. But the reason why that I really love to come to this house is simply because I know that in this place, His Spirit resides, moving in and out, touching those who are willing to have their hearts touched, so I should say. But then in closing, there is this part of the Word of God that directs us in our love. It shows us how to love. God's Word shows us how to express that love to one another. As a matter of fact, God's Word does say just that, how we're to express our love toward one another. The Bible calls it a holy kiss. We do it with a handshake. You know what that says? It says, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. There's nothing off about that. You know, a lot of times, I used to hear people say, I love you, but you know what I mean. I mean in the Lord. Yeah, we know all that. Listen, when we come together as a group of people, this word directs us that we're to be in love with each other. I mean, we ought to be willing to do whatever it takes to be a blessing to our brother or sister in Christ. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others. And that means for the welfare, the benefit of others. May we tonight understand that when this word directs us to do something, it is God's word, it's God's breath. It is the very voice of God breathing into our ears and our hearts. May God help us tonight to be directed by this word. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, tonight as we bow before your throne, we come thanking you for the blessed privilege of being in this house of worship. Dear God, we come to this place tonight with a blessed and hopeful heart, relying upon the promise that you'll be here with us, relying upon the promise that thy voice breathed upon these pages, thy holy word will teach us the way in which we are to go. And Father, I pray that as we realize the miraculous work of your Holy Spirit, that we will be in tune to each other's needs more squarely. And Father, our hearts toward each other would be pure love. Love that is real and biblical. Lord, help us to be Christ-like in every facet of our lives. Help us, dear God, to be faithful to you. May thy presence be felt as we walk out of these doors even. Father, may you go with us as we depart this house. And Lord, may you be with these families. Watch over us and bless us. And Lord, as we sing a song of praise as we end this service, may your name be lifted up. May it be so, dear God, that maybe even tonight you might touch the heart of some lost soul. They may come to know thee as Savior. Lord, bless tonight. Bless your children. Forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come. 349. 349.